The Drive is live and live on a Wednesday, big playoff week as we get ready for the Texans and the Steelers coming up on Monday. Remember, tomorrow, Thirsty Thursday, we will be out Buffalo Wild Wings, Willowbrook Mall. So come hang by Willowbrook Mall on the other side of the highway from Willowbrook Mall off of Tomball Parkway. So come hang out with us tomorrow for a little bit of Thirsty Thursday. Shout out to Bud Light. Shout out to Buffalo Wild Wings. Good food, good drinks. You can come out and hang out and have a good time with us tomorrow. I do want to get into some things, but I wanted to bring this to you all. And I'm not going to lie, I was judgmental. And Clint, I almost said something to the fella. So I pulled up here at the station. I pulled up about 12:30. I sat in the car. For some reason, I got stuck watching Steelers versus Lions, and then Steelers versus Browns. I got stuck watching that in the car, and I kept looking up, and I kept seeing a guy like doing laps on the top, walking around doing laps. I'm like, oh man, do you think? Get your exercise in. He probably passed by five times. But like the fifth or sixth time, Tyler, he came up and he hit a cigar.
Oh yeah, I've seen him. I've seen him out there before.
Have you seen him before? I've never seen this guy before. My man is out here walking laps, getting exercise in, it looks like.
He is
getting. But he's got a full Cuban cigar rolling out like it is.
Getting exercise in style.
No, Clint, I almost said something to him. I got out and he walked past me as I was walking to the door, and I almost said, "Hey, bro, what you doing here?" Hold on,
he's like, got. I'm telling you, he's got.
You've seen him before, so know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. He's in. He ain't in workout gear either. He's in office attire.
No, but like at first I thought maybe he was just walking to his car, but he's roped and like he's getting it in. He's probably getting a good mile plus
a nice
in.
Cigar.
No. He has definitely got some kind of step challenge, daily step challenge going on.
That's what it is.
And because he'll be out there, I'll see him out there on the phone talking. But he's in polo and khakis
today.
Like short khakis where you can see his ankles with no socks on and
dress
shoes, and he'll be walking.
He did.
And he'll smoke a cigarette. He'll have.
Oh, he does cigarettes too.
I'm sorry, a cigar.
Yeah, it's a cigar.
He'll have his AirPods in, either talking or listening. Yeah, he's got some kind of step challenge going. He's like, hey, man, to hell with that gym up there. To hell with that athletic gear, man. I'm just going to go ahead and get it in.
But it looks like he's got to walk it outside because he has to have the cigar.
That's it. It's just like an afternoon stroll, baby.
Like, are you getting good work? Like, are you, like, I mean.
Better than none. I'm telling you, he got some kind of step
are you counteracting this with the cigar?
I don't, hey, like, he knows he ain't getting worse. He
you don't inhale.
He was.
He probably shouldn't be.
But I mean,
he's just quit on the smoke. I think cigars is what he's going to do. And I think he's just doing what he can.
I just watched him. I said,
he's cool as hell with it, too.
Oh, he's hitting that thing up. I said, I've never seen it.
Yeah, he's cool with it.
Let me get out here. Let me get these steps. Let me get this walk this mile in, and let me hit this cigar.
I done signed up for this damn step challenge. Let me go ahead. I got to get 7,000 in this week. Let me go ahead and get them.
Am I wrong in my thinking? Like that the cigar thing while exercising, I think is vastly different and better than if it were like a heater. He was walking around puffing, right?
I would think so.
Because you're not supposed to be inhaling the cigar.
I'm
not judging the man, but the whole deal is leaving a lot to be desired from a workout perspective. I mean, he's got to be trying not to sweat. I mean, it's a stroll, Tyler. It's a cool ass. From the tire to the walk to the cigar to the ear, the phone, the conversation on the phone.
I probably sat in my car for 30 minutes but he's hitting it. No, I mean, I didn't really notice it. I saw him first because I park on the edge and he looks like he's just walking to the other side to go to his car.
Mm-hmm.
But then he passed me about five or six times.
Top four,
and I was like, well, no, this guy's getting work in. Go ahead, man.
Let me tell you what he's going to do.
I said, that's not a bad idea. Get out here and get you some. Feels pretty good. And then he came through and my man just Hit that thing. I see the smoke coming out. I said, what the hell? And then I got out the car and I just watched it. And I mean, Tyler, he's hitting it two or three times around his lap. I've just never seen anything. I've never seen anything like it.
He's going to lay down in that bed tonight, Ron. Me, you, and Tyler, we're going to be like, damn, we didn't take too many steps today. Boy, that was a rough day. He's going to lay in that bed and go,
I got mine in.
I got an extra 200 in it. I'm telling you, man.
How much does he happen. I mean, how much does he smoke, though?
He ain't counting.
I'm just saying, Tyler, if you
it's
have
for
to,
sure lit, he's not just chewing on a
no,
cigar.
No, I'm seeing smoke. The smoke coming out. Yeah, Tyler, you have to smoke a lot if, all right, man, I'm about to get these laps in. And I thought maybe this was the first time, but Clint has seen him. So this is a normal thing for him. Like, you have to smoke a lot for you to say, man, during my workout, man, I got to hit one.
Well, he can't do it in the building, so he's having to. That's what he's doing. He's getting that smoke in. He's that smoke fix.
He's
and
knocking out
steps.
Multiple.
He's all of it once. And a couple phone calls to the family that he can't make in the building on the clock.
And
you think he's
to God, I'm gonna try this. I'm gonna light up cigar and walk.
Well, somebody's gonna roll the window down and holler at you like they did last time.
Wonder if Pendergast ever does it. You think Pendergast ever has a stogie when he does his strolls in the afternoon?
Absolutely.
No, he doesn't. No, Sean can separate his workout from his smoke out.
You're not running them together.
I don't think
he's running them together.
Tyler, don't make that look. People
I don't
can
know.
See
I mean, Pendergast is a cigar guy. I know it. And he takes his everyday afternoon walk.
There
it's not possible for him to light up a stogie.
Zero doubt that Sean Pendergast has strolled through River Oaks with a cigar in his mouth.
And I know Sean is listening. So please, I'm just saying, there is no way, Tyler, when he goes to training camp, and when he does his show at training camp and in between the practice where he goes and takes a walk around that area, he is not lighting up a cigar.
Come on, Sean.
And hitting that walk. He is not.
No, I think he's got to be in River Oaks amongst the trees, man.
I'm serious. 713.
Johnny, text in.
713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch. Has anyone ever done that? Smoked it of any kind, smoking while exercising?
Cigar, cigarette, crack, any of it.
I am serious. Like, I don't like to bother. I don't like to mess with people. Go ahead, man. Do your thing. But I almost felt like pulling a Clint Sterner and just like, hey, man, what are we trying to accomplish here?
What's going through your head?
Like, what's the goal here? Like, I feel like that's some Clint.
I'm dead ass curious. I'm not being a
no, I am too. I kind of am, but I am curious too. Like, what's it? Is this help? Are you working on your breathing? Like, is this helping your wind now more than?
I'm telling you, it's a step challenge.
He's got to
probably
be.
With his wife, and he don't want to catch. He don't want to get third degree when he gets home about not getting
steps. If you got to smoke while you exercise, you smoke everything. I mean, I bet that man lights up something four, five, six times a day. I mean, it is. Somebody text in, I walk 4-6 miles every day smoking my cigar. 2 cigars in 2 hours. I don't inhale.
Is that the guy you saw?
He's a listener.
He's a listener.
I sure hope to God it is, because I hope there's not somebody else rolling around here that walks 4 to 6 miles every day hitting 2 cigars in between.
I mean, that's an expensive workout. Unless you're smoking the bottom of the barrel, I mean, that is.
I mean, stop at this Specs before I get to the park for my walk.
Yeah. Text line, I used to smoke weed before working out. Yeah, I know it, but you weren't hitting it. You weren't laying down on the bench.
Wild,
and hitting it.
But even if you're smoking weed before working out, like, you're just smoking weed every day all day.
Tyler, the way you said that.
I happen to know a few fellas who partake before a good workout or maybe run in the courts.
All right, let's step out of this.
Seem to play well.
Tyler's now staring into the sky.
Reminiscing on his homeboy at the sports complex out of William Gray, man, getting high and playing basketball
through
on a Tuesday night after curfew. Y'all
want to go hoop? Sure.
I can't even believe it. All right, J.J. Watt, who, by the way, the Texans, I believe, are 4-0 with J.J. Watt calling their games this year. He will not call the game on Monday night, but he did speak about the Texans while he was with Pat McAfee. And talking about watching this team, he's seen them up close 4 times and how he feels about their potential. And I know something that he said stuck out to you, Clint. Here's JJ.
Houston Texans could win it all. That is a very, very real statement. How do you feel after watching them so much this year, and how do you feel coming out of the last game?
Yeah, the last game was a weird one. I mean, obviously, we were on the call there, and the vibe was just strange because Jacksonville jumped out to a big lead early, and the Texans pulled their starters at halftime, and like even going into the game, I mean, yes, everybody said all the right things, but you kind of knew, and you could sense it just around, even in the stadium, the fans and everything, like, yeah, we want to win this game, but we also want to get to the playoffs healthy, and we want to make sure that once we're in the playoffs, everybody is ready. And so it was just a strange thing. Now, give credit to the Colts, right? Leonard comes out on his first third down, deep to Alec Pierce. There's a little bust in the coverage there on the back end. They'll have Kamari Lassiter back at corner. So when you look at the AFC, I mean, this year is, as everybody said, more than ever feels like the most wide open it's been. The Texans defense, without a doubt, can stop anybody. It's going to come down to their ability to put up points on the other end that is going to determine how far they actually go.
All right, I know that back part is what kind of jumped out.
Yeah, look, the AFC's wide open. The defense is good enough to win a championship. It's all going to come down to whether the offense can score points. And I think, look, this is stating the blatantly obvious. JJ did there on McAfee. I mean, anybody that covers the team knows that this thing's going to come down to whether the Texans' offense can score points or not. But I love hearing it from JJ. I mean, there's no sugarcoating it. There's no... Oh, I mean, let's just overemphasize how great the defense is and how wide open the AFC is and tell us how good CJ's been in the past and how good Nico is. Now, the reality of it is what JJ said. The reality of it is it's all going to boil down to whether it's the first round or it's the damn Super Bowl. It's all going to boil down to can this offense score points? And I'm not talking about piddle around and just score enough. And it's going to come down to probably multiple times. If they can pull it off and win, probably multiple times. If they can't pull it off, it'll happen once. It's going to come down to whether this offense can score points. And the reality of it is I'm not real confident in that being the issue. I'm not real confident in this offense
if they have
being able to get it done. I'm not. I mean, my question to the listeners, 713-572-4610, is where are you at with your confidence level? I know you're high on the defense. I know you're high on the current state of the AFC and your chances. And we know you like CJ and you like Nico, but where are you at honestly with this offense ultimately deciding whether you make a run and win a championship? Here we are in year three with D'Amico Ryans, a defensive-minded head coach. I said it when he got hired. This is all going to boil down to can he get the offensive coordinator right? Can he get the quarterback right? He got the quarterback right out of the gate. At least most of us think he got the quarterback right out of the gate. And the offensive coordinator, you know, it's been a bit of a struggle there. Things I'm not comfortable with, Ron, and with this offense, it's easy. We've talked about it all multiple times throughout the year. Basic communication. This team, the offensive coordinator, the quarterback, the head coach, multiple times throughout the year, we've heard them talk about getting out of the huddle on time. We've heard them talk about communication in the huddle and at the line of scrimmage. We've heard them talk about communication with the quarterback and the offensive line and the tight ends and everybody that's in pass protection. We've heard that consistently. Now, it's been better of late, but we've heard that consistency. That basic communication on the road in a loud environment is going to be a major problem. It's going to be a huge challenge for this group, and I'm not confident that they're going to get it done. Handling pressure, just basic handling pressure looks, whether they blitz or not, just the look of crowding the line of scrimmage, loading the box up. CJ and the offensive line and ultimately Nick Caley, their ability to handle that. They were better last week. I highlighted that in Tape Drop Tuesday. They were better last week, but I need to see more to be confident. Also, last but not least, the other pass catchers, not named Nico, everybody else. I don't know that they're good. I'll say the phrase good enough, all-encompassing good enough. But when I say that, I mean, can Dalton Schultz actually separate in coverage enough versus a playoff-caliber team and a good defense? Can Higgins, Xavier Hutchinson, and Christian Kirk, those are the three guys percentage-wise that have gotten more snaps. I like Noel, but Noel's not in this conversation, doesn't play enough. Can those guys separate enough, create enough opportunity for C.J. Stroud to go out there, move the football, and score points and do what J.J. said. This playoff for the Texans is going to come down to whether the offense can score points. Those things are going to have to happen. And I'm not saying they're not going to happen. I've just not seen enough to be super confident versus a playoff caliber opponent that it's going to happen.
Yeah, which is fair. But the hope is they don't have to have a situation like Jacksonville, right? Because that was the only game really where it felt like they really had to – they were forced to have to really score points and come back. And the hope is that the defense can do what they have done for most of the season, and that is control the game, control the score, and not have to put the offense in a place where they have to go and score points. The only game, as we said, was the Jacksonville game. All right, coming up, Liz, we're getting closer to this game coming up. Matchups in this game, and I think this may be the biggest matchup in the game. And we'll talk about it on the other side. It is simply, how are you feeling about this Texans offensive line, which is so much better than it was the previous 2 years? How are you feeling about the Texans offensive line versus the Steelers D-line? We'll discuss that next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
Had some responses to your question there, Clint.
What you got?
From the text line. I don't trust this offense if it comes down to having to score more than 25 points.
Oh, no.
I'm personally not comfortable at all that this offense can get it done, but then again, there's been times they haven't been able to score. It all comes down to which offense shows up. The average offense that can go down and score some points, or the subpar offense that settles and kicks 6 field goals. Someone else texted in, I don't like how many field goals they have to kick. So, and then there's some others who, like somebody else texted in, just let it play out.
That'd make for great radio.
Yeah, I think he said, can we just let the game play out and stop trying to predict what's going to happen? You guys have been killing the Texans all season, and here they sit 12-5.
Stop whining.
I don't know. Dog, man. I legit did. I asked the guy.
Sunshine.
I legit want to know. If you want to go with the let it play out deal, what would be your topics for the day?
Weak ass fan.
You leave with Miami Fairbairn. You got 15 minutes on Fairbairn winning the AFC player of the
special team of the week. Player of the week.
You got 20 minutes on Kevon Holman or Kevon Wallace.
My favorite is killing the Texans.
Killing the Texans. Yeah, I don't see
so
it.
We have stroked the defense every single week, every single day.
Stroke Nico Collins.
I mean, Nico Collins until the cows come home.
Woody Martin. I
mean, Nick Caserio, D'Amico Ryan.
I probably have
cows come.
Nick Caserio. But yeah,
I think there's been times when you've said, hey, man, Nick did a hell of a job picking this guy up or running, you know, these running backs are coming. I mean, even you've leaned into it a bit. But yeah, no, I mean, it's just wild, boy. Just wow.
Soft.
But no, I mean, yeah, the offense which shows
the offensive line for a month plus now.
I however think this is a game
I've
where
Dalton Schultz all year long.
I think this is a game
the
where they could probably get away with like the field goals. It feels like this one is, but we'll see down the line. But yeah, I mean, I think it's very fair to have concerns about the offense. But what I would say is one thing that has been Clinton Tyler, one of the biggest, I think, surprises in a positive way is what the offensive line has been and where I think people feel with the offensive line right now, even with changes. The sack numbers are down, and not just the sack numbers, but just the times where it looks like, you know, CJ's running for his life are down. Now, they're not over. We still see moments of that, but not last year. It felt like they would go through multiple quarter stretches every week where they just couldn't even run offense because, like, it was a jailbreak at times. There were missed assignments of guys just getting beat. That is not even close to what is happening this year. But we have seen some moments, especially in the second half of some of these games, where the pressure has gotten to the Texans. And I threw it out. How are you feeling about this matchup? Because I think hell, really, you could look at offensive line, defensive line on both sides of the ball for the Texans and the Steelers as really the matchups of the game. But the Steelers, they bring out, and then we heard Nick Caserio say it, they got two Hall of Famers down there. T.J. Watt is still one of the best pass rushers in the game. Cam Hayward has been playing really, really well the last 2 years. And Highsmith, who has 9.5 sacks for them, is really good. Higbee, who has 7.5 sacks, another guy up front. They've got capable pass rushers, and they can blitz. Kyle Duggar's a good blitzer from the secondary. Patrick Queen. How are you feeling about the Texans, their offensive line, their protection in this game?
I feel good about the offensive line.
Yeah.
I feel good about the offensive line. I feel like the coordinator, quarterback, and O-line can all be overwhelmed again with that dreaded pressure that we always talk about. But if you're asking me specifically about the offensive line to be able to handle them man-to-man, when you talk about protecting, I think they're going to be able to run the ball at least in a complementary fashion. When you talk about protecting, and let's assume that these running backs are going to chip the way they've chipped, the tight ends are going to help the way that they've helped when need be, I'm not worried about it. There's one. Cam Hayward in the middle is for two reasons. Is obviously he's a man amongst boys from a size and strength standpoint. I mean, him getting matched up and getting leaning on Andrews, and I mean really any of our interior guys. And not that he's gonna just whip them like a drum. But when you got Patterson in there and Andrews in there, you don't have a whole lot of lead in your ass in terms of your middle offensive line. So it's.
Just as long as it is not the Chris Jones situation where that.
Yeah, I don't know that. Hey, I don't know that he's got that left.
Or Simmons,
in him.
Yeah.
But I do feel like he's got to push the pocket from the inside. He's got to get in the quarterback's vision, knock balls down, force errant throws over the middle of the field. I do think that he has that in his.
Well, Clint, he was clearly in the Baltimore game, the game they just played. He was clearly a big part in that game.
Yeah.
In the middle.
Well, to your point of, I mean, I'm not worried about our tackles, but to your point of the two edge rushers for Pittsburgh, when you've got, this is another thing why I'm so bullish on the interior pass rusher and big presence like this is you can't take either guard away. Like one of those guards at some point,
it's gotta be.
They have to help Andrews. Right, you can't leave a guard by himself consistently either because it's just he's going to disrupt things, and so you got to give your attention inside, which creates one on ones for the most part outside, and could cause some problems, and so what they've got going on across the front is problematic potentially. I'm not saying that it's going to be a major issue. Hell, that bad Pittsburgh team may show up and Texans may run through them, but. They potentially, that defense is significantly better than I think their rankings would tell you.
Can they just hold up, you know, well enough that they can make some plays, right? That's the thing is, can they avoid that second half? There was a little bit of second half period against the Chargers where the pressure seemed to get away from them a little bit. The same thing in that Chiefs game in the second half. Can they avoid that for long stretches in this game? Now they got, I mean, T.J. Watt is a capable pass rusher.
Yeah.
Like he's been one of the best in the league, but can they just get to a point where they don't let those guys just ruin everything they're trying to do? And they have been able to do that for the most part this year. They may have some moments, but for the most part this year, they've been able to do that. All right. Coming up as we continue, big news coming out of the NFL, is still lingering from yesterday. We'll talk about that and a little bit of the coach of the year situation. Do you feel like it's an issue that D'Amico Ryans doesn't seem to be involved in that conversation? We'll discuss that next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
See you, Champ Slice. Can we talk about Kingston Fleming's last night? He took over. Yeah, he did. That was a big performance from him last night. Freshmen's was going off last night in college basketball. Fun night. Texas Tech coming in a big matchup at the Fertitta Center, and he went off down six and brought them boys back. So, yeah, shout out to Kingston Fleming. Make sure you enjoy him for these next few months. His ass is gone. Top seven right now in the draft, his ass is gone. Yeah. Yeah, it was a fun night. Fun night last night. All right, 713-572-4610. You can jump in. Also, YouTube and Twitch as well. Still the big news that people are still kind of getting over here with the NFL and really in the sports world is John Harbaugh. We broke that here when Tyler chimed in the 4 o'clock segment with John Harbaugh and the Ravens parting ways. And before we even got out of here, Adam Schefter reported that 7 teams had reached out to John Harbaugh. Seven teams reached out to John Harbaugh already. Fellas, there's only 6 teams that have openings. Right? And I assume the Ravens didn't reach out. So there's teams that just have coaches in place that reached out to John Harbaugh, which I got to wonder who is a head coach around here sitting here thinking, who isn't it?
It's got to be Mike McDaniel.
I think Mike is safe.
You think?
Oh, yeah. For some reason, Stephen Ross seems to be safe with Mike. Shoddy? Maybe Shoddy looked around a little bit? I don't think so, but maybe Shoddy looked around like you just never know. You never know with Jerry.
Buddy in Tampa.
That's a good one. I think he probably said something to himself. You know, yeah, they've had some success there lately, but yeah. He probably was looking around Aaron Glenn. He probably was looking around with the Jets. I mean, it's looking rough. Yeah, I mean, dog, I'm like, well, like these guys still got jobs. Zach Taylor, maybe, with Cincy. Maybe he was looking around a little bit.
Yeah.
They said he would come back, but they didn't know John was going to be available. So, that is interesting. By the way, just 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch, you can jump in on this. Like it sounds like he's going to be able to have the pick of wherever he would want to go. He is the top candidate. Everyone has talked about he's the top candidate. And you understand, 18 years, Hall of Fame coach right now. These guys that have his resume don't generally hit the open market and still want to coach. But do you think in 2026 that even though what he has done with Baltimore, but just now you take him away from Baltimore, and you have him there. Do you get the sense like that this is a almost can't miss type program changer? Because Vrabel kind of felt that way. Andy Reid, you could kind of feel that way. His brother, Jim Harbaugh, who was out of the NFL, but we've seen him before. You kind of felt that way. Do you feel like John is in that same conversation?
Oh yeah,
you do. Okay.
Well, I think he's very safe. I think it's a very – I mean, he's one of those hires that even if it doesn't work out, nobody with any sense is going to come back and go, boy, you're a real idiot.
Yeah, well, yeah. Oh, yeah. Safe for it, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like there's just – you know, I think even – while I like Kevin Stefanski, not personally, but I think I like him to land another job. Like there's the Cleveland debacle with the quarterbacks and all that kind of job. I mean, there's a real chance that if it doesn't work out at the next spot, Stefanski could – I mean, it could be viewed as like, what the hell were you thinking? I think Harbaugh is the one that if you want to make a good, safe hire where nobody's going to come for your throat or nobody's going to blame you, he's that guy in this cycle.
Yeah. Yeah, he's...
I mean, for what it's worth, I'm not saying it's the right hire, but that's a slot he lands in this bunch.
Yeah, like, and the guys we talked about, Harbaugh, Vrabel, Andy, those are some of the and Andy's, but this is about 13 years ago now, but those are some guys where it's like when they hit free agency, you're like, oh, they're available. Yeah. Like you can instantly see they could change an organ. Sean Payton, another one. You can instantly see they could change they could instantly change a program and really in all those spaces they have, right? They've all worked. It's just John comes with more ifs than the others. Because there's not really one side of the ball that John is an expert on, right? He's not a former coordinator.
Yeah.
on offense or defense. He's a special teams guy. So he, you've got to hit on both of those. Which,
well, I think he is a guy like which most losing organizations that have fired their head coach are in that, like, the first year or two, it's all about your floor. It's all about how far, how quickly, how far can you raise the floor of your organization? Get the bad apples out, get the culture right, you know, hold guys accountable. You may lose a bunch of games in the middle of it. Nick Caserio did it here. Like, how quickly can you get that turned? And I think with Harbaugh, when it comes to those things, I think he would help a general manager and be big in that transition. To your point, if you're talking about taking a franchise and consistently immediately having him in the playoffs and then consistently staying there and kind of repeating what he did in Baltimore, then comes the, well, can he hire the right DC and the right OC and keep the next guy in the pipeline if and when he either sucks and you got to fire him, or he's good enough and he gets hired out from underneath you. That's a different bear.
Like, I have to look at it, Tyler. Maybe Tyler Clem, maybe you can remember. Has he ever just been in a situation where he has just had to absolutely rebuild without a ton of talent? And I'm not saying that. Like, Atlanta, it's probably
Billick had it pretty decent when he took over.
I mean, he took over with Ray, Ray Lewis, and an identity. And as you know, this is – Your history in the NFL, you understand this as much as anybody. Like, when you go to a healthy organization, and Baltimore in the last 20 years has been one of the most healthy. Ozzie Newsome was the guy running the show. The ownership has been strong. Right. Like, he's run through Ray to Flacco to Lamar. They have been – you roll out here and all of a sudden you go to – one of these other organizations that aren't as healthy. And I don't know how much he ran the show from, like, having his hands in everything, right. How much he ran the show. And you would imagine the next stop he goes to, he's going to want to do that more. Like, yeah, hell, if he went to Cleveland, he should. He instantly becomes the best guy in the room. So I'm with it. I think every fan base that has an opening right now, and some that don't, would be extremely excited if John Harbaugh was hired to be their head coach. It, to me, though, it isn't as easy as, like, all right, Sean Payton, you know what kind of offense you're going to get, and now can he find a guy who can coach the defense? Mike Vrabel, you know he probably going to have that defense right, and we've seen him build a Tennessee Titans team that got to an AFC championship game. Andy Reid, the same, right? His brother, Jim. Look, we've watched him do this everywhere. It's not a surprise. He immediately goes 11-5, bringing his program in. That is a little different with John Harbaugh. By the way, are you surprised that there's not as much talk about D'Amico being coach of the year? I saw CBS had their top five. They had Liam Cohen, Ben Johnson, Mike McDonald, Sean Payton, and Mike Vrabel as their top five. You surprised that D'Amico, 12-5, injuries they've had, the start, that he's not getting more talk in people's top five?
Man, that's a top five is, because I mean, I was going to say, if you want to add a sixth, I wouldn't complain at all that D'Amico's in there. But you start looking at what these guys have done. I mean, the three biggest turnarounds are what? Jacksonville, Chicago, and New England. I mean, I think those are the three biggest turnarounds. And so you're talking about,
and
guys,
then Mike McDonald and Sean Payton
are your one
seed. They're the one seed. Yeah.
So I mean, yeah, it's for me, it'd be hard to. I wouldn't argue against it, but it'd be hard to put D'Amico in over any of those five for me.
I think Sean Payton has done a great job over there, and they're the one seed. They've got the number one record in the AFC, but I would put D'Amico's job this year ahead of him. I don't know if I can do it over anybody else, like those other guys. Liam Cohen, you know how y'all feel about the Jags. Nobody really thought the Jags were going to be this, right, and Trevor would get turned around that quick. Ben Johnson, didn't see them winning their division either, with the Lions and the Packers in there. And then, of course, Mike Vrabel just turns the Patriots around that quick. So Sean Payton, I think they made the playoffs, and there were some expectations there, so I'm not as surprised by that. But yeah, man, there have been some great coaching jobs this year, some really good turnarounds and coaching jobs, and usually it's built off expectations, right? And DeMeco was expected to win the division coming into the season, and
I mean, I would argue that that DeMeco was expected to win 11, 12 games this year.
Yeah, more than anybody else on the list.
Now, we go back to, you know, and not that I'm against it, but we go back to, should you give somebody credit for the hole they dug just because they dug out of it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't know. Hell of a run, don't get me wrong, but.
I mean, they don't even have Kyle Shanahan in their top five.
He's known over injuries.
Yeah, he's overcome a ton. All right, coming up, we had a conversation about C.J. Stroud yesterday. And I think this is something that we can go a little bit deeper on with you, the people. We'll do that coming up next.